If I were a cuckoo, I would often be pregnant. I wouldn't waste energy raising my children. Someone else can do that.
This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
Coochie-coo, cuckoo.
This is the week for greeting card schmaltz and last-second floral deliveries. But I'm guessing that the Mother's Day card you sent did not allude to abandonment, polygamy, or cannibalism.
Yes, I killed my babies and ate him.
But those are authentic maternal instincts for some animal species. And animal mothers are the subject of Isabella Rossellini's new short film series, Mamas. She wrote, directed, and stars in Mamas. And just like her previous short films, Green Porno, which was a series on sex and seduction among insects, Mamas is nothing like a conventional David Attenborough National Geographic nature documentary. Rossellini plays the mother animals. In one film, she's the toad mother dressed up in what looks like a giant hefty bag rolling around until her babies pop out of her back. As the mother cichlid, she wears a giant fish head and holds her baby eggs in her mouth until they hatch. And dressed as a giant hamster, she eats not one but two of her hamster babies for the brood to get down to a sustainable size. Isabella Rossellini, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you for having me.
So Mamas takes our sentimental idea of mothers and motherhood and turns it on its head. And you set out to sort of subvert the nice Mother's Day
exactly.
idea.
Well, it was the study that I read from, you know, the leading researcher, Marilene Zook. She subverted the idea that maternal instinct means self-sacrifice. She got very alarmed by this idea that the common denominator to all female is to sacrifice, to give to their babies. And she said, okay, let me go out there and see that that is indeed true, because she was worried as a woman. Forget about studying and becoming a professor at the university. I'm going to be thrown back at the kitchen and serve my family. And when I read it, I had the same concern and the same relief of finding out that the great diversity, the great strategies that they are to perpetuate your genes without self-sacrificing. And that was exhilarating to me, fun and also liberating.
Although there is sacrifice, like the spider who turns herself into baby
Mush.
Food.
Yeah. She turns herself into a baby food.
First my babies eat my limbs. But babies eat only mushy food, right? So to help them, I turn my body into mush.
But as the scientific book that Marlene wrote, this animal is an exception. Most other animals, they don't prove that self-sacrifice is the definition of female, but good management, ability to know your resources and how to make best use of it. So she rather have a definition of female as good managers than self-sacrificing creatures.
And flexible from species to species about how you manage to do this thing.
Exactly.
Why did you decide to do Mamas? Was it you had done animals, insects having sex, and you wanted to show what happens after sex?
Exactly. One of the consequences of sex is maternity. But I went back to universities to study animal behavior. I'm studying for a master's degree. And so,
really?
Yeah, so I read very interesting article about maternal instinct and what do we mean by that. And that was the basis of my new series, Mamas.
And are you still going to school? You're going for the doctorate?
I'm still finishing my master's degree, and I'm starting very slowly because I work, so I can only do a course a semester. So something that might take a couple of years might take me 4 or 5 years.
And how is it being back in school at our age?
You know, I find it wonderful. I heard, actually, on some radio shows that a lot of people my age at 60s go back to school because you have time and it's one way to really engage your brain, especially if you are fascinated by a subject.
Yeah.
This is exactly what happened to me as I worked less as a model, as an actress because of age, but I was always interested in animal behavior. I said, I'll go back and study it. And it really filled my day. I mean, as a almost a semi-retired actress, like every person who is retired, you know, you always fear boredom. But I'm not at all because of thanks to the studying.
You have been involved in conservation as an issue for a long time. So were you always a bit of a frustrated zoologist?
I was a frustrated zoologist. And I tell the truth, it's inevitable once you are interested in animal to run into the problem that the environment is suffering. But this is not. I wish I didn't have to read about all those bad news. First of all, they're bad news. And also, it's not really my field of interest. My field of interest is really the diversity of animals, their biology, their behavior. But inevitably, you have to face the problem of endangered species, loss of habitat. You know, you have it. And the news are always so sad. So my films, they're trying to be comical.
They are comical, although there's... if not sadness, there's weirdness in them. And Mamas takes our sentimental idea of motherhood and turns it on its head. And I mean, they are comical. As you say, there are lots of funny moments. I especially love when you played the male bumblebee and the oil beetle dupes you into having sex.
And know how to emit the odor that mimics the sex pheromone to attract a male bee eager for romance.
A female. I run! I fly! Ah! The larva crawled on me! Ah, they are all over me! Ah. A female. Or an imposter. I can't resist.
I mean, nature films are not some place where you expect to see comedy. Is that why you're doing it?
In a way, yes. In a way, you know, of course, I am a great fan of David Attenborough, of National Geographic. I've watched over and over again their programming. And as a filmmaker, I always felt that I couldn't have done better than they do. So there wasn't any room for me. But one thing that occurred to me is that animal make me laugh. The variety that you find in nature, it's astounding, but it's also comical. And that was a voice that wasn't expressed. And so maybe I could attempt that. And that's why my film are comicals.
There's also inherent comedy beyond the jokes in this grand dame of the cinema dressed in these ridiculous costumes doing silly things.
The eggs that I carry on my back are fertilized. Soon I will be a mama. Oh. Here are the babies.
Well, you know, I thought so. Because when the idea of creating these short films came, I thought, you know, could it be animation? And then I thought, no, it's better if I use myself as an actress because I can control the expression and what, because I know how to do that. And so it became me dressed up as an animal. And of course, I saw that it was completely ridiculous because I'm also identified with great fashion and iconic imagery of cosmetic and fashion. So I thought that it could add to the comical.
And it's why people pay attention to them, right? If it were just another nice animation, yeah.
Exactly. I don't know how they pay attention to it, but, you know, we keep the voice of glamour and beauty, and yet the films are ridiculous.
Did making them, I mean, and really thinking hard about maternal instinct as a universal or not, make you think about your own maternal instincts, mothering styles, all that?
Not so much my maternal ways, but it was liberating to know because like Marilyn Zook, I was a little bit worried that indeed maybe the essence of femininity was to self-sacrifice and that we couldn't really escape that. At the end, we had to serve our kids. And that really made me uncomfortable and thinking, oh, yes, I would like to work. And how do I reconcile that concept?
Well, it's not all or nothing though, right? I mean, sacrifice.
Yeah. No, of course. But Darwin, though he didn't do an in-depth research, but Darwin, with his theory of evolution, he couldn't understand how altruism would exist. If it was the fittest, why would that individual sacrifice itself to be altruistic?
Well, and evolutionary biologists are still arguing about that very thing.
Very much so. But so they looked also at maternity as saying maybe it is a maternal instinct that is expanded to other being than your own babies. But that, of course, it was very much tinted by our own culture that saw women as happy at home and serving the family.
In the Piping Plover short, you have a brief homage to your mother.
Yes.
Was your mother as a mother? Did she figure in your thinking about this series of films?
She figured because this little bird called the Piping Plover that lives, you know, on the shores of Long Island, very close to us, pretends to be wounded. If she feels that there is a fox or a predator, she pretends to be wounded.
A broken wing. I cannot fly. It doesn't move. Aye, aye, aye.
To attract the predator away from their nest. And then Rook flies off.
I fooled the fox. I pretended to be wounded and unable to fly away to attract the predator away from my eggs.
I'm always amazed how it's possible that evolution evolved to promote lie and pretending and acting. So in my episode, I play a very bad actress who was bombarded by vegetable and tomatoes and rotten tomatoes and booed, chased out of stage. And she says,
if I were as talented at pretending as the Piping Plover, I would be a Sarah Bernhardt, an Ingrid Bergman.
I was looking for a name of an actress that meant the same in many countries, because I also did the film in French. So I needed the name of an actress that made the same, how you say, the same... iconic impact. And of course it's Sarah Bernhardt.
Right.
We have never seen her because there is no footage about her, but you think of a grand lady that traveled the world and everybody had to see Sarah Bernhardt at least once. But then when I said Sarah Bernhardt, I said, well, somebody in the audience might know that I'm Ingrid Bergman's daughter. If I don't say Ingrid Bergman, Mama will be offended. So I used both names.
Was your experience as her daughter, did you take that and apply that to raising your own children? Or did you say, that wasn't quite right, I'm going to do this differently?
No, I think I really liked my mom. So I think I did very many things like my mom, including acting, including having a career when I went to school.
Marrying directors?
Marrying directors and having a career. But when I was little at school, not too many mothers had careers. My mom was one of the only women, mama, who had a career. And when I was growing up too, it wasn't like today, me too. I thought, well, I get married. And then I thought, no, of course I get married with a director like Mama. But I also want to work like Mama because she looked like she enjoyed it so much.
Right. You became, at least in American public consciousness, a movie star rather late, in your mid-30s, right?
Yes.
Did you, at that point, did you have a plan or a scheme or a dream of, here's how my career is going to play out?
No, I never expected to be as successful as I have been. So, and it was very lucky because it opened many doors. But I somehow always felt that you cannot plan for success. Success either comes or doesn't come. It's like winning the lottery. So I was successful and I felt like I won the lottery.
Right.
But I don't think I can say, okay, now my career will continue that way so that I can foster success. At the end, I just go with my heart, what is interesting to me, what seems valuable to me, and hope for the best.
Isabel Rossellini, it has been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The Sundance Channel is airing the Mama's Shorts, and they are also available as webisodes online. We've got the details at studio360.org.
With my web, I catch flies. I have to gain weight to nourish my babies, my spiderlings, when they're born.